Thank you so much. And that's what's good about, you know, services like this. Something like that happens and you want to hear a little more, we can always say encore and come back up here and do some more. But what a blessing. Thank you for coming out tonight. And I realize that we could be in lots of different places doing lots of different things, but it's a real joy to see each one out here tonight. And it's our desire that you get a blessing from the Lord. And it's been a blessing for me to be here these days. I have done a little ride around Kindersley two or three times in a fair place, and I've gotten to know where some of the restaurants are, and people have been very gracious to me. I appreciate that so very much. But tomorrow evening will be the last of this particular series, and we can still continue to invite friends and people to come, and I hope that I get another opportunity, as I said, to come across somebody that I can talk to and invite to the meetings as well. I try to make that a practice in any place that God takes me to preach. I try to go out and get in the community a little bit, and they know that I'm a stranger. Most places I go, they can pick me fairly quickly that I'm not a local. And generally that starts, what are you doing here? And so it's very easy for me to jump right into a conversation about coming to the meeting. And most times they're very gracious with me because I'm too big for them not to say yes or no to. But they're very gracious. And whether or not they come, I leave that with the Lord. But at least I try to get out and ask some folks to come. So I encourage you to do the very same thing. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ, the Blessed One, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to His loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Oh, sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Philip Bliss, standing on the bow of a ship on Lake Erie, storm-tossed, ship going down. He wrote the song, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, but he had already written this one, Sing Them Over Again to Me. Let's take our Bibles tonight. Turn, if you would please, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We know that John chapter 6 contains the record and the account of the feeding of the 5,000. That's always amazed me. It's the most voluminous of all of the miracles recorded. It's the largest miracle in the sense of many, many people being involved. Some commentators feel like because of the size of families in those days, there could have been as many as perhaps 50 or more thousand people. 5,000 men and their families, it says. And so some feel like it could be well and truly into the thousands like that. I don't have any reason to disagree with them. They did have large families, and they did have extended families in those days as well. And so there could have been. Nevertheless, if it was only 5,000 men, think about how much food they eat to be full. I used to be a pretty good eater. I'm not anymore. I still do all right. But when I was back in the prime days of running and playing sports and those things, it was nothing for me to consume large amounts of food. You probably never did anything quite this foolhardy, but when I was 16 years old, McDonald's, you know that sinful place up here on the street where you get heart attacks on a plate? McDonald's had recently opened up a store about 14 miles from where we lived in the little farming community where I grew up there in upstate New York. And back in those days, it was nothing like they are today. They were just, they had the golden arches, and in between the two golden arches was just a little 8x8 or 12x12 block where they had a place for the hamburgers to be cooked and the french fries to be soaked in whatever they soak them in, makes them so good. But cook them in the deep fat there, and then a place for the soda machines or the pop machines. And then they had two windows, and you used to walk up to the windows and you order a 19-cent hamburger. 19-cent hamburger. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? What are they, $6 now? You know what I mean? It's really inflation. But anyway, 19-cent hamburgers, and they had fries for 12 cents, something like this. It was really crazy. And so we were working on the farm haying all day long. We'd put in, I don't know, 300 or 400 bales of hay, I suppose, and been involved in the heat of the day. And there was five of us boys and one girl. The girl was a sister to one of the boys. And so we said, after we got done haying and after everything was put away, let's go over and go to McDonald's. You can imagine how the stomachs were just growling, like lions, you know, growling, growling, growling. And so, as most boys do, they torment the one girl that's with them, and so we gave her the order. 100 hamburgers. 25 fries, and at least one milkshake apiece, maybe two. And so she went up to the window, and she said, I need 100 hamburgers, and so many fries, so many. And the man said, I must see the money first. I think the bill came to $24 or so. I can't remember. But he said, I've got to see the money first. You're going to ask me, aren't you? Yes, you are. You're going to ask me, did you eat it all? And I'm going to tell you, after a fashion, we got it all done. didn't do it all in one hit, but we got it done. But back in the day, I think about men who are working. And they do eat a lot of food. Men in the woods, on the farm, where they eat a lot of food to keep themselves going. When I think about the feeding of the 5,000 here, I think about, you know, this is not some trivial little thing that God did. This is a amazing, I mean, semi-truckloads full of food would feed 5,000. And he did it with one little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I thought about the caring mother there. You know, nobody in that whole group of people had any food except a little boy. I used to protect my lunch with fierceness when I was in kindergarten. My main nemesis was a guy by the name of Mickey Demania. And Mickey was a stout little boy, had a voracious appetite. And at break time, we used to go in kindergarten, we went all day long. So we had to have a couple of naps in the course, just for the relief for the teacher, I think. But we had to have a couple of naps. So we all had cots, you know, and so we'd go in and get the cot. It was a big deal, you know. We had to get our cot out. And whoever slept the best, usually if there was anything left over from the cafeteria, they'd send down a tray of little apple crisp or something like that. And whoever slept the longest got the prize. And so I was always just snoozing up the day. I just, you know, I did my best. And I woke up to the fact that while I was snoozing, Demania would put his hand up and Miss Monroe would say, "Okay, Mickey, you can go, but be quick." And so he'd go out to the washroom. At least that's what he would have us to believe. What the little thief was doing is he was going into the coat room and reaching up into the sandwich boxes and the lunch pails of the children and finding out, well, you know, what was good. You know, there's a chocolate chip cookie. I like that. Oh, here's a sandwich. I like that. And we'd go to lunchtime and we would all be wondering, what in the world's happened to our lunches? I think that's the first fisticuffs I got involved with as outside of my own brother. I caught him rifling through my lunch one day, and he and I tore up the coat room. Miss Monroe wasn't pleased. Can you imagine 5,000 men and their family being fed by this voluminous miracle? Of course, on the heels of this great miracle, we have the great discourse of the bread of life, and Jesus talking about himself come down from heaven. And many people struggled with this. They thought that he was gone too far, talking about eating and drinking of his own blood and flesh, but that was only symbolic, obviously. And they struggled with that. Comes down to verse 60, and it says, "Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can bear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, having or being one of the 12. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity again this evening hour to come aside for a few minutes to sing these glorious hymns of the faith and also to hear our brother play so wonderfully, encouraging our hearts and filling us and thrilling us with the person of Christ. Now, Lord, as we look to thy word and for a message from the tables of heaven, we pray that you would serve it up to us by the Spirit of God. That the food that you have for our spirit and soul tonight would be enriching to our lives, sustaining us in the fight. Lord, thank you now for the work of the gospel ministry here at this church, and we pray you'll continue to bless it, continue to increase it, continue to use your people for your honor and glory. May the name of God be glorified, may the Son of God be given preeminence, and may the word of God be multiplied. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful words of life. Wonderful. You know, there's something about just reading the Bible. I was speaking to some people down in Swift Current a couple of days ago when I was down there. And one of the young ladies said, oh, well, we were told we could never read the book of Revelation because we might not understand it. I said, but did they tell you that it's an automatic blessing for reading it? What does it say in chapter 1, verse 3? You get a blessing if you just read the book of Revelation. You may not understand it all. You may not be able to discern all of the truth that's there because you've never had maybe the teaching of aligning the book of Daniel and Revelation and having the Bible teach the Bible, etc. You may not have that, but you're promised a blessing just to read the Scriptures. And yet today, people are searching everywhere, aren't they, for words of comfort, words of knowledge, words of information, words of research, words of scientific achievement, words of peace, words of anything and everything but the wonderful words of life. Some years ago, after my wife had been stricken with cancer, and she got back on her feet and started to feel somewhat better, I said, where do you want to go? She said, well, when I came over here from Australia, you promised to take me to Niagara Falls, which had been 25 years previously, and you never did, even though I was a New York State police officer, and Niagara Falls was within 300 miles of us. I never went, never took her. And she said, would you take me now? Well, by this time, we're living 1,500 miles away down in Florida. And I said, okay, just book the ticket. We're going. So she booked the flight. We went up to Niagara, had a great time. Of course, we stayed on the Canadian side. You go on the American side, it's just industrial. You don't want to go there. Go to the Canadian side. It's beautiful. Perhaps you've been there. I don't know. But we went and we stood right there where the precipice of the water goes over. And it was just wonderfully impressive. And yet the plaque there, or the information we had to read, said that only one-third of the volume of water presently goes over the falls. Two-thirds of it is used for making power, where they had tunneled around, and of course the power station is down the river away. But I thought, wow, what would it have been like if you had been one of the first people to lay eyes on Niagara Falls when it was in its full strength? It would have been amazing. It's amazing enough as it is. While we were standing there, you know, every once in a while a tree or a log will float down the river. And one was caught right on the precipice, on a rock. It was the current had pushed it up against the rock, and it was going to go sometime, but when, nobody knew. Everybody was speculating. And they said, well, it's been there for a few hours, and it's going to go sometime. And a bird came flying down and just landed on that tree that was pinned up against the rock, about to go over the precipice. Just carefully, absolutely, not feeling one iota of danger. And yet, how many people who have dared to tempt God and go over the fall? Some have made it, most have not. And yet, here is a little fragile bird, just how fragile they are. You know, every once in a while, we'll have a bird fly into the glass window in our house, and, it's kind of like, oh, no, not again, you know. And you go out there, and you'd like to give it mouth-to-mouth, but you don't. You know, you just, too bad, sucker, you're dead, you know. But, here's this little fragile bird sitting on this log out there on the precipice of Niagara Falls, and I get to thinking, talk about something being at peace because of something they know. Now, what does that bird know? Through experience, that bird knows that if the log goes out from underneath her, she just has to take flight, and she's fine. wonderful words of eternal life. What is it that makes true, genuine Christianity different from the rest of the known religions, of 3,500 known religions in the world today? What is it? It's a peace that passes all understanding, that if everything falls out from underneath us, we can take wings and fly because of the person of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. For in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have touched and handled of the Word of life, the disciples said, and we can have a settled knowledge that our sins are forgiven through Christ, our eternal destiny is settled, and the guarantee of life everlasting because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is ours. And so, the words are wonderful because they bring real peace, don't they? Peace of heart, peace of soul, peace of mind. And yet, I find myself sometimes struggling with events of life and troubling events. And we were talking earlier about the different troubles that man faces, and we know Job tells us that we're born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. And that trouble is not a one-time affair. Life is a set of challenges. Life is a set of circumstances. Life is a progressively time of trial and tribulation, and God, for the Christian, has the answer for every one of them, and yet sometimes we fail to trust the Word of God. We go looking for other things. And the peace is not there. These words are wonderful because they can settle the issue first and foremost of eternity. But then the peace that comes through knowing other things, like when Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Perhaps you have had some experience in the past, like I have, where you felt everyone had abandoned you or had left. Everybody had just forsaken you. My older brother, who's in heaven now, he tormented me. I know he did, and my mother knew, my father knew, and they used to try to get involved there so the torment wouldn't carry on too long. But he tormented me. He said I wasn't part of the Weeks family. He conjured up this yarn about me having been, my parents had burned out of their home, and he showed me this old foundation where, had I been smart enough, I would have realized that the trees were growing up in the foundation. They were far and away older than what he was talking about. But he said, oh yeah, it wasn't long ago. You lived in this magnificent mansion over here on the side of the hill. It was you were really set for life. Silver spoon in your mouth. Parents had lots of money, but fire came and they're gone and the house is gone. And you were found out by the side of the road. And for whatever reason, my mother and father felt sorry for you and brought you into this home. Tormented. Now, as a child, I kind of bought into this. I suppose it was because I thought, man, wouldn't it have been nicer? It had remained the same, and I was able to have all the toys that I wanted, you know. And I was able to have all the goodies that the riches of this life would have provided, you know. And so I'm thinking, man, why me? And my brother is constantly in my ear. You're an orphan. You're this, you're that. You're taking up too much room in our house. You shouldn't be in my bedroom. We're in bunk beds, you know. And he just tormented me all the time about this. Until one night, I just had had enough and I broke down. And I guess I was just boo-hooing to the highest peaks of the house. Door opened. I heard, Gary, you go to sleep. And then this big hand reached down on that bottom bunk and pulled me up and put me right off my feet. It was my dad, and he looked right in my eyes and he said, you look at me. He said, you are my son. You are everything that we have told you you are, and you need to look really hard into my eyes. I did. And you know, the strength of the hands and the firmness of the voice, and my brother having been shut up, made everything all right. Other people have gone through experiences where they felt abandoned, deserted, forsaken. Of course, there's only one truly forsaken in all the world, isn't there? When he hung upon a tree, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So the only God-forsaken place was the cross of Calvary. For the Father separated himself from all eternity once, when he cloaked the world in a crape of darkness and turned the back of God upon the Savior, and the Spirit was commended into his hands, and Christ hung there, dying and bleeding for you and for me, forsaken. The wonderful words of life are the promises of God, which tell us that we are sealed by the Spirit of God unto the day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 4. You can't break the seal of God no more than you can stop the sun from shining. You can't break the seal of God no more than you can stop the rain tonight. The seal of God is God's authority over the universe. It's His word. He promised, and God, who cannot lie, has made certain that we can know we have eternal redemption forever in Christ Jesus. That settles a lot of things for me in my Christian walk. I've gone to lots of different places over the last 35 years of preaching. I've ridden in a car, I've ridden in a truck, I've ridden in a plane, I've ridden on the back of a camel, I've ridden on a horse, I've ridden on the back of a truck, I've swum across rivers, I've done lots of different things to get to where I could tell people how they could be saved. Never dreamed that I would ever do that, but because God promised that He'd take care of me, it's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time. He promised. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll not forsake you. I actually flew around the world on 8 $1 bills. All the way around this planet. We had recently returned from living in Australia, and we'd expended just about everything we had, and we basically had our lives in 6 barrels. So we rented a little cottage down there in Florida and got my wife and daughter set up there. And I said, now look, sweetie, I need to go back to Australia. I had my return ticket, so I need to qualify this by saying I had my return ticket to Australia. And I said, listen, how much money do you have, darling? You can always find something in that purse of hers. And she said, we have $16. I said, you have 16? I said, well, that's 16 more than I got. I said, let's make a deal here. How about if we split it? you give me 8, I'm headed out for parts unknown, and you keep 8 for the next bread and milk you need, and trust God for what's supposed to be coming in. So she said, okay. She gave me 8 $1 bills. I put them in my wallet. I went down to the airport and gave them my return trip ticket to Australia. And got on the plane and they fed me all the way over there. They took Eric, picked up over there. Pastor picked me up and went to the church. And I preached and I saw some people get saved and I saw some other things happen. And then I went to the next church and the next church and the next church. In the next church, and for 45 days, I preached every day and every night, and to get enough money to come back to the United States. But then I got a call and said, listen, you don't come right back to the States. We want you to fly from Melbourne up to Sydney, Sydney to Singapore, Singapore over to Amsterdam, Bay Rand to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to London, London to Belfast, and it took 54 hours. To do that trip. And that ticket was taken care of by some Christian church people. I got up to Belfast and They said, look, you're going to start preaching up in Londonderry. You go up to Londonderry and start preaching. So after a 54-hour jaunt on the airplanes, they took me another two-hour drive. I had seen kangaroos in Ireland. I knew I was tired. And I said, what is that? Put me in a little farmhouse where the door jams are about this high. I found out because I knocked my forehead when I first got up about 3 inches backwards. You know, bang, it was readjusted. And I slept for 18 hours. Got up and had something to eat, and they said, come on, we're going to church and we're going to preach. So I started preaching. I preached in Londonderry, then I came down to Belfast, I preached in Belfast, came down to Drogheda, preached in Drogheda, went down to a couple of other little towns, and then went and got on the plane and was sent over to New York City, where I was quite ill on the flight. I was not well at all. I got to New York, and I wasn't even sure what my name was when I got to New York. And I said to somebody, where's the next flight to Tampa, Florida? And they said, oh, it's over in the other terminal. I said, how do I get there? And they said, well, you just start walking. Well, it was a long ways, and I think an angel picked me up and carried me over there and put me on the plane. I got to Tampa, and all of that said and done, my wife picked me up at the airport, and we got home, and we walked in the door, and she said, Glenn, we need bread and milk. How much money do you have? I said, let me look. Pulled my wallet out. There was $8 bills. You see, God is not limited, is he? Now, I'm not talking just about finances here. Please don't get me wrong. When God said he will meet our needs, that means our physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental needs. He can meet them. If we will pray about it and ask him. Now, does God let us shut down physically? Eventually. We know that all of us may live 70, 80 years, some more. My father's 96, but he'd like to go to heaven right now tonight if you asked him. He'd say, I'm ready to go. Let's get out of here. I've lived a great life. Let me go. But some of us, 60, 70, 80 years perhaps, maybe a little longer. But does God let us shut down physically? It's quite obvious. The cemeteries are full of dead men's bones. Does God let us shut down emotionally? There are times. Does God let us shut down mentally? There are times. Does God let us shut down spiritually? He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We're going to get new bodies. We're going to get a whole new character. Because it will be absent of what? Sin, sorrow, sickness, suffering. All the things that you right now are in battle with and are dealing with. These are going to be gone. And we're going to have a body like unto his body and a character like unto his character. But our spirit will remain the same. Because he's given us new life, heaven. Wonderful words of life. Words that cannot be broken. Words that cannot be done away with. The word of God is forever settled in the heavens. Not one jot nor tittle. That means the punctuation. Not any of that will pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never. And God has said it. It's better than being in concrete. It's better than being down in the depths of the earth, founded in the earth. Listen, it's founded in heaven. Cannot be moved. Wonderful words of life. Something else about the words that we preach about here and talk about and makes them so wonderful is that they are living. The word of God is what? Quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so what makes the word of God so wonderful is that we have the everlasting answer for every need of mankind, starting with salvation right on through all of life. We have the wonderful words of life which can answer every challenge, every difficulty, every problem. As a matter of fact, the psalmist in Psalm 19 says that these words are better than much fine gold. gold of Ophir, that's the purest of all gold. He said, these words are far, far away better than that. Makes them wonderful because the truth is this. For those of us here tonight who name the name of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we believe with all our heart and confess with our mouth that God hath raised him from the dead, and we're saved by the promise of God, the truth of the matter is, we can take the very same word that we believed and trusted, the record of God's Son, and we can deliver it to an unsaved world around us, and we have every confidence that they can be saved too, by believing the record that God gave of his Son. Our brother quoted earlier how that the word of God, as it goes forth, will not return void unto God without first of all accomplishing that which God purposes. And God's purpose in giving us the word of God is to reveal himself and to tell us what, all of the wonders of God's creation and all of that, but also to tell us that he has a wonderful redemption plan for a sinful man, that Jesus became our substitute, that the blood of Christ is all sufficient to wash the sin of anybody away. And these words are wonderful because we don't have to argue with people. We can just give them the word of God. For Paul said this, and I'm about to close. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, we are so blessed that we have the eternal truth of God, that we can have absolute peace about our destiny, our future. We can be at peace with one another, with our fellow man, and with the Lord, and have the peace of God which passes all understanding. But then in life as well, we have these wonderful words to guide us, direct us, to help us in every trial, every situation. But also, when we look at our loved ones, and we look at the perishing around us, we look at those who are hell-bent for destruction, we can say, stop! Jesus saves! And we can give them the truth. Amen. And those very words are the dynamite that causes man to turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel. Wonderful words. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the hour. Thank you for these wonderful, powerful, regenerative words of life. And Lord, as we consider these truths tonight, remind us once again that without the Word of God, we would not know Thee, we would not have peace, we would not have our sins forgiven, we would not have eternity waiting for us. But You loved us supremely. Sent the eternal word of God into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Lord, thank you for that wonderful truth and grace of God which reached into our heart. Tonight, dear Lord, I don't know everyone here, but I pray that all would be able to confess Christ as their own personal Savior. That everyone here tonight would be able to say, yes, I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But if not, Lord, help that one or two maybe that know thee not to just turn from themselves and their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive his grace and his mercy and be born into the family of God. Then for the rest of us, dear Lord, who gladly account and gladly recount the time and place that we heard the blessed word of God and we responded, for faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for saving our wretched souls and giving us a life which is purposeful, joyful, faithful. Have your will and way in our hearts and lives. Help us to spread the gospel message, this wonderful cure-all for man's ever-present needs. We love you now, and we're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 309 in the hymn book. 309, faithful old hymn. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noonday heat and the burden of the day. Let's stand to our feet and sing it, and then Pastor will come and close as God leads him.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within the weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noonday heat and the burden of the day. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears to wonders I confess the wonders of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. I take across my shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
Listen, I think that there's a cuppa downstairs, a little fellowship time. I'm not sure about that, but I think so. Is that true? If you have a spiritual question, I'm only able to give you what the Bible has. That's all I want to give you anyway, because my opinion doesn't count for much. It's what the Bible says. And I don't know everyone here tonight. If you are saved, or if you're looking to be free, if you're looking to come to know Christ as your Savior, I'm glad that I'm saved. Now, I didn't get saved until I was 25. But I know this, God can save any and all who will come unto him by faith in Christ Jesus. And if you're convicted of that need, please tell Pastor, tell myself. We'll be happy to just go through the plan of salvation. We can't force anybody to take Christ as their Savior. Wouldn't want to. Wouldn't work. Have to take him willingly. He's offering a free gift, and that's how you get it, by taking it willingly. Then, Christian friend, if there's anything that we pray with you about, we're more than happy to stay as long as necessary. I've got wheels. I don't have to depend on anybody to carry me around. Thankfully, one of the people down in the church in Swift Current let me borrow a car. So, if you want to stay and talk, we'd be more than happy to do that as well. But let's have some fellowship downstairs. Pastor, you come as God leads you and close.
Take a little bit just to get everything organized, but yeah, there is food downstairs. Welcome to stay. And again, if you have any questions or anything, feel free to talk to either Brother Weeks or myself. So as we close, Brother Allen, can you dismiss us in prayer and ask the blessing on the food, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this message this evening. We thank you for this brother who has taken time to come and speak to us. And ask that you bless him and bless his travels and bless his ministry, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.